It's 6 hours Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
President Obama says U.S. military assets will help in the fight against Ebola. Another promising experimental vaccine against Ebola proves effective in monkeys. I'm Victor Beatty reporting from Washington. President Obama says elements of the U.S. military will become part of the international Ebola containment effort in West Africa. Speaking Sunday on U.S. television, the president said they will help set up isolation units and provide other equipment and security for public health workers surging into West Africa from all over the world. Mr. Obama cautioned it will take months to control the epidemic.
If we don't make that effort now, and this spreads not just through Africa but other parts of the world, there's the prospect then that the virus mutates, it becomes more easily transmittable, and then it could be a serious danger to the United States.
Last week, the head of the medical charity Doctors Without Borders warned the world is losing the battle against the deadly virus and charged much of the world as being part of a coalition of inaction in responding to the global health crisis. The death toll from the Ebola epidemic now tops 2,000, with nearly 4,000 known cases, that according to the World Health Organization. On Friday, the European Union pledged more than $180 million to tackle the deadly disease, which was first discovered in Guinea in February. Meanwhile, a study in the journal Nature Medicine says a promising new experimental vaccine has proven effective in protecting monkeys from the Ebola virus, with a second injection providing them longer-lasting protection, up to 10 months. The testing is being done by the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Doctors in the U.S. state of Nebraska treating one of their own who became infected in Liberia says he's making progress. Dr. Richard Scarra remains weak but stable. This is VOA News. Authorities in Sierra Leone have ordered people to stay indoors for 3 days later this month, the 18th through the 21st, as part of an effort to stop the spread of Ebola. A lockdown last month in the West Point slum near Monrovia, Liberia, sparked violence and look reports.
The government lifted the quarantine on West Point on August 30th. Authorities barricaded the area after a mob attacked a holding center for suspected Ebola patients in West Point on August 17th. The quarantine led to panic and was criticized as counterproductive. Government spokesman Lewis Brown defends it.
There was a level of denial that needed, in our mind, shock therapy. People needed to be sort of awakened to the fact that, look, this is deadly and it is serious. And this is no hanky-panky business.
But as resistance fades, another challenge is amplified. Where can sick people go? Ebola treatment units in the capital are full. However, Doctors Without Borders is expanding its unit at Owa 3 to add 280 beds. Other agencies are building 5 more units to open later this month. In the meantime, Ebola stays a few steps ahead of the response. Ann Look, VOA News, Monrovia.
Somalia has removed its top intelligence official. A government spokesman said he failed to fulfill his commitments. That decision comes as Somali officials put the country on high alert after the militant group al-Shabaab confirmed the death of its leader, Ahmed Abdi Gudani, in a U.S. airstrike last week. VOA's Geb Jussler reports on what the death may mean for that group.
The director of the Heritage Institute for Policy Studies in Mogadishu, Abdi Ainti, told VOA Somali that Gudani has ruled al-Shabaab with an iron fist and sought to model the group's global jihadist identity after himself.
He was running the organization by himself and was essentially branding the organization as his own.
In recent years, Gudani has consolidated power by eliminating rivals within al-Shabaab. Ainti says there are no obvious successors to Gudani and that further internal violence is likely in the event of a power vacuum. But independent Horn of Africa analyst Abdulwali Sheikh Abdisamad says killing the group's leaders alone is not enough to stop al-Shabaab.
You can kill a person, you cannot kill the ideology. Ideology will take a long time.
Abdisamad says if al-Shabaab finds itself in an internal struggle, that is the time for the Somali government to reach out to less extreme factions. He says providing a dialogue and alternative governing structures in towns formerly under al-Shabaab control is the only way forward. Gabe Joslow, VOA News, Nairobi.
Sudan is denying supplying weapons to Islamist militia in Libya. According to the Libyan government, a Sudanese aircraft carrying ammunition destined for armed groups landed recently in the southern Kufra region. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, September the 8th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Liberia welcomes President Obama's announcement to use the U.S. military in the fight against Ebola in Africa.
We find it very comfortable working with the capacities that the Department of Defense can bring to bear, and we thought that would be a very good thing for them to come and join Liberia in these efforts. And we, as a country, are very, very extremely pleased with the announcement that we have heard.
Brownie Samukai is Liberia's defense minister. A Sierra Leone opposition leader wants the government to reconsider its decision to shut down the country for 3 days for Ebola. The UN establishes an Ebola crisis center, and South Sudan says President Salva Kiir is interested in peace.
President Salva Kiir is always on record that he wanted peace. So what is happening, even if President Salva Kiir wants peace, like he wants peace now, and the rebels are not ready for peace, President Salva Kiir alone cannot bring peace.
Atene Wak Atene is South Sudan's presidential spokesman, and we'll have analysis on al-Shabaab's new leader. Those stories plus Mark Oldman Sports and our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. President Barack Obama says the U.S. military will help in the fight against the Ebola virus, which has killed more than 2,000 people so far in West Africa. Speaking Sunday on NBC's Meet the Press television program, President Obama said U.S. military assets are needed to set up isolation units and equipment and provide security for international health workers.
What I've said, and I said this 2 months ago to our national security team, is we have to make this a national security priority. And we're going to have to get U.S. military assets just to set up, for example, isolation units and equipment there to provide security for public health workers surging from around the world. If we do that, then it's still going to be months before this problem is controllable in Africa, but it shouldn't reach our shores. Now, here's the last point I'm going to make. If we don't make that effort now, and this spreads not just through Africa but other parts of the world, there's the prospect then that the virus mutates, it becomes more easily transmittable, and then it could be a serious danger to the United States.
That was U.S. President Barack Obama speaking Sunday on the NBC television program Meet the Press. Liberia's Defense Minister Brownie Samukai said his country welcomes President Barack Obama's announcement that the U.S. military will help in the fight against the Ebola virus. Samukai, who is currently in the United States, says he's here as part of his government's efforts to bring to the attention of the international community the scale of the Ebola virus and to solicit their support. Samukai tells me Liberia is expeditiously looking forward to U.S. cooperation in fighting the Ebola virus.
Quite frankly, we had discussion at the Department of Defense in which the issue of utilizing and requesting a full scale of United States capability, both on the soft side and on the side of providing logistics and technical expertise. And coming from the Ministry of Defense, we find it very comfortable working with the capacities that the Department of Defense can bring to bear, and we thought that would be a very good thing for them to come and join Liberia in these efforts. And we, as a country, are very, very extremely pleased with the announcement that we have heard, and we look forward to that cooperation as expeditiously as we can. Because as I speak to you, James, the entire economy is at a standstill. The entire capacity of our ability to respond and deliver basic health care is challenging. Setting up field hospitals for non-Ebola related cases, those are the things we discuss about. Setting up field hospitals to respond to expertise who are coming to Liberia, who, if for any reason were to get infected or begin to get simple symptoms, at least they'll have a place to go to be easily treated. So we are extremely pleased to have heard from the administration that indeed they are listening to the request of Madam President. They listen to the request by the WHO in the United Nations, and also they listen to the request by the Center for Disease Control.
Let's go back to Liberia briefly. The incident at West Point involving the Liberian security forces, police, and the military. The last time I think I talked with the Minister of Information, the President had given you the task to investigate what took place in West Point, that within 10 days to report to her. Have you made any report to the President?
Well, the 10 business days is still ongoing. The military has set up a joint board of inquiry. The board of inquiry has several representations as observers, including members of ECOWAS who are supporting the Liberian military, including advisors from the military, the U.S. military that are helping Liberia, as well as we are now about requesting the presence of the Independent Commission on Human Rights. So all of these things are intended to show our transparency in bringing out the facts, there's always lessons learned. It was a very unfortunate incident. It is not the norm, but it was a very unfortunate incident that occurred, and we are very regretful that that incident occurred, and that is not intended to in any way try to show what, you know, things are.
So what do you say to those who want an independent board of investigation and not the military?
Well, let us be fair to ourselves. Everywhere in the global community where there's an incident involving a military personnel, there's no international human rights commission or there's no international investigation, however, that takes place. First, the military itself has to go and try to police itself first, using the credibility of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So we have to be fair to ourselves, and that is our intention.
Some people in the civil society are asking you to step aside or resign because of the way the West Point situation was handled.
You know, the good thing about democracy is everybody has the right to see what they want to see and request whatever request they want to make. We are focused on responding to the Ebola crisis. We are focused on ensuring that our health delivery system gets better and improved. We are focused on ensuring that our vibrant economy gets back on track. We are focused on ensuring that all of the international support and assistance that are coming to Liberia can be harnessed in dealing with this Ebola crisis.
Liberia's Defense Minister Brownie Samukai was speaking with me from the United States. A Sierra Leone opposition leader has called on the government to reconsider its decision to quarantine the entire country for 3 days as part of efforts to stop the spread of the Ebola virus. The government said over the weekend that during the three-day lockdown, which will take effect September 18 to the 21st, people will not be allowed to leave their homes. But John Benjamin, Chairman Emeritus of the opposition Sierra Leone People's Party, says the shutdown will accomplish nothing because the incubation period of Ebola is 21 days. Benjamin tells me Sierra Leone should learn a lesson from Liberia, which shut down schools, marketplaces, and sent government workers on leave, but still is experiencing some of the highest rates of Ebola infections and deaths.
To me, I don't think we would achieve much in that direction because we should learn from the experience in Liberia. I mean, we try to quarantine the city for some time, and at the end of it, you ask yourself, what did you achieve? And also, you look at the economic consequences. If the mining companies on which we depend now, they employ thousands of people, if they do not operate for 3 solid days, what would be the effect on this country? If you shut down the whole country for 3 days, do you have the resources to coordinate the shutdown effectively? These are questions that are coming to my mind, and I think somebody needs to answer them.
Let me say that we made all attempts to speak to the Minister of Health. She was not available. We tried many times. We called her spokesperson, and we called the Minister of Information. But on the side of the government, maybe they are thinking that a desperate situation requires desperate measures. So that's why they are putting in place this process.
You see, even in your desperation, you should not lose your head. Because somebody was telling me that when you have a toothache, you take out your tooth, and that solves the problem. But if your head is hot in you and you cut off your head, you will not have a life to live. Even while we are desperate, we should not do things that will further deepen the effects on us. Because some people live in the, on a daily basis. I mean, they don't even prepare food in their house. They go out and eat. They don't have arrangement to cook in their house. So if you are going to keep them in their house for 3 days, have you taken into account the effect that it will have on them? And the whole economy is going to be shut down. There are so many logistics that are involved in keeping people indoors for 3 days. So I really think what we should do is learn from the experience of Liberia, learn from the experience of Guinea. Has Guinea shut down? I mean, when Liberia shut down, what was the impact? Those are the things we need to ask ourselves. And what are we going to gain? After 3 days, we are saying the cycle of this Ebola thing is from 2 to 21 days. Why are we saying 3 days? Why are we not saying 4 days? Why are we not saying 5 days? What is the magic about 3 days? What will be the impact?
John Benjamin is Chairman Emeritus of the opposition Sierra Leone People's Party. He spoke with me from the capital, Freetown. VOA made several attempts to reach the Sierra Leone Minister of Health as well as the Information Minister, but to no avail. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said Friday that the organization is establishing an Ebola crisis center with the goal of stopping transmission of the virus in affected countries within 6 to 9 months. From the United Nations viewers, Margaret Bashir has more.
Mr. Ban said the UN is mobilizing in every way to stop the spread of the virus, which has killed more than 2,000 people in Guinea, Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Nigeria, with its hemorrhagic fever-like symptoms. He said the UN is sending out an international rescue call, asking for $600 million for supplies needed in West Africa.
The number of cases is rising exponentially. The disease is spreading far faster than the response. People are increasingly frustrated that it is not being controlled.
Mr. Ban spoke to reporters briefly after meeting with World Health Organization Chief Dr. Margaret Chan, Dr. David Nabarro of the UN, and other senior UN officials. The Secretary General said the next few weeks would be crucial in getting more supplies and medical personnel to the affected countries. He urged airlines and shipping companies not to cancel flights, saying that will not halt the spread of the disease, but would keep medical teams from reaching the people most in need.
It is crucial to remember that Ebola can be avoided and controlled. The virus has been contained elsewhere in the past, and we can do it today as well. We know what to do and what needs to be done.
WHO says the risk of Ebola transmission is low. Becoming infected requires direct physical contact with blood or other body fluids from a person who has the virus or from a victim's body. There have been nearly 4,000 confirmed cases of Ebola in the four West African countries. Mr. Ban said he is establishing an Ebola crisis center at UN headquarters in New York with the goal of stopping transmission of the virus within 6 to 9 months and also prevent the epidemic from spreading internationally. Although Ebola is a huge, serious challenge, Mr. Ban said he is convinced of success, provided there is enough assistance from the international community. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
South Sudan's presidential spokesman says mediators from the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, known as IGAD, are being impartial in an effort to resolve the country's conflict. Atenei Wakatenei also rejects reports that President Salva Kiir's government has been purchasing weapons to prolong the conflict. He tells reporter Peter Clotty that although both sides of South Sudan's conflict have complained about mediators' bias, IGAD has been impartial.
What I wanted to confirm here is the fact that IGAD is now very impartial, simply because we were complaining about IGAD up to recently. We were complaining about the IGAD being biased towards the rebels. Now the rebels are saying IGAD is biased towards President Kiir or the government of the Republic of South Sudan. The bottom line is IGAD might be doing its job because the two parties are complaining. So this document doesn't favor President Salva Kiir because President Salva Kiir is the president of the Republic of South Sudan and he has a tenure that is running until July next year. So the IGAD has realized that the legitimacy lies with the President Salva Kiir. So this is not about favoring him.
What is President Salva Kiir willing to do in order to bring some form of peace, stability, and some respite for the people who have been affected by this ongoing conflict?
President Salva Kiir is always on record that he wanted peace, and he has done it several times. This is a man that is willing to forgive anybody, no matter what you does to this nation. So what is happening now is the notion of one hand not clapping unless the two hands clap together. So what is happening, even if President Salva Kiir want peace, like he want peace now, and the rebels are not ready for peace, President Salva Kiir alone cannot bring peace. So we urge the rebel leader to rise up and begin now to seriously engage in peace. He will find President Salva Kiir very ready to bring peace back to South Sudan.
What is he willing to do to bring peace? Because it takes two to tango. Both sides are saying that they want peace, but there are reports that recently millions of dollars was used by the government to bring in more arms to rearm the national army. What do you say to that?
First of all, President Salva Kiir has already given enough, something that will ensure that, you know, he wanted peace. you know, the idea of transitional government, where the rebels will be part of it, and the prime minister position will be given to the rebels, shows the commitment on our side. On the issue of arms, South Sudan has not used a single penny to buy any arms since 2008. The issue we are in now is on how to tackle famine, is on how to bring peace back to South Sudan, and how to rehabilitate, you know, the communities and to reconcile them. We are not looking for arms because the arms we have are already enough. You know, the arms we purchased in 2008 are enough to protect South Sudan for the next 10 years. So we are not looking for arms. So those who say that South Sudan is buying arms, they are just lying. That's a simple word.
Atene Wakatene is South Sudan's presidential spokesman. He was speaking with reporter Peter Clotty from the capital, Juba. The Somali government is on high alert after the militant group Al-Shabaab vowed to avenge the death of its leader, Ahmed Abdi Godani, in a U.S. strike on Monday last week. Meanwhile, the group has appointed a new leader, Ahmed Umar Abu Ubaida. Roland McCall of the National Center for Scientific Research in Paris says the new leader does not have the same charisma as Godani.
I would say if someone whose profile is actually by background would be very Somali. He seems to have been connected to Godani's his mother. It seems, therefore, he was a Quranic teacher. He was part of a movement in Lower Juba that basically, you know, built an Islamist armed group and then a jihadi group in the 1990s, Ras Kamboni. And to a large extent, he joined the movement in the early years and grew in the movement, I guess, through the trust he could enjoy from his leader, Ahmed Godani. He was largely involved in Amiyat, in the secret services of the organization. He was as well the governor of Beyan Bakal. So it's typically someone who has, you know, reached a high-level position in the organization. At the same time, there is maybe something missing. It's not someone who has the rich regional and international connections Ahmed Godani enjoyed. And it's as well someone who may not have been linked very much, I would say, to the political economy of the movement. He was very operational. And in that sense, he may be someone perfect for an interim period, but not someone who may rule the organization for the next years up to the time someone, whether he's targeted or a political solution found. A last thing I heard about him is someone who is not the fanatic described here on there. Yes, because of his position in the movement, he organized terror attacks, and somewhat Amisom will call him a very vicious leader. At the same time, those who know him personally intend to present him as someone flexible, reasonable on many issues. And I hope this possible or not too unlikely flexibility should be tested politically by his enemies today, trying to maybe look for an alternative to a long war that, as I said before, no one is going to win, or if someone wins, it will be at such a high cost for Somalia and for the region.
That's Roland Marco of the Center for Scientific Research in Paris. He spoke with Haroun Marouf of VOA Somali Service. Time now for Daybreak Africa Sports, and here is Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. A very good Monday morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, James. In our Daybreak Africa Sports News, we begin with athletics. Algeria's Taufik Makloufi clocked 1 minute and 43.83 seconds to prevail in men's 800 meters in the last IAAF World Challenge Series meet of this year in Rieti, Italy on Sunday. Kenyan Silas Kiplagat and Moroccan Abdelati Igida triumphed in men's 1500 meters and 3000 meters respectively. Kenyan Agatha Jeruto and Tunisian Habiba Gribi won the women's 800 meters and 3000 meters steeplechase respectively. Elsewhere, Kenyan Jairus Kipchoge Birech ran the world's quickest time this year and a lifetime best of 7 minutes and 58.41 seconds when he carried the day in 3,000 meter steeplechase as the curtains came down on the IAAF Diamond League in Brussels, Belgium on Friday. Algerian Taufik Makloufi and South African Kotso Mokwena won men's 1,500 meters and long jump respectively as Kenyan Mercy Cherono triumphed in women's 3,000 meters. In football, Benin is suspended from all age category competitions in Africa. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, disclosed in Cairo, Egypt on Friday. CAF sanctions Benin for fielding four overage players against Mali in their recent Orange African Under-17 Championship qualifiers. Meanwhile, hosts Mali beat Malawi 2-0 in Orange Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers in Bamako on Sunday. Earlier on Saturday, Republic of Congo surprised their hosts and African champions Nigeria 3-2 in Calabar. Algeria edged Ethiopia 2-1. Cameroon beat the Democratic Republic of Congo 2-0 as Gabon pipped Angola 1-0 and Tunisia edged Botswana 2-1. Elsewhere, Senegal dismissed Egypt 2-0. Ghana and Uganda drew 1-1. Ivory Coast edged Sierra Leone 2-1. Cape Verde Islands outplayed Niger 3-1. Zambia and Mozambique drew 0-0. Burkina Faso beat Lesotho 2-0. Guinea edged Togo 2-1. And South Africa thrashed Sudan 3-0. Finally, Serbia beat Cameroon 3-1. Mexico edged Egypt 3-2. And Finland dismissed Tunisia 3-0 at the World Men's Volleyball Championship in Poland on Sunday. Early on Saturday, Cuba pipped Tunisia 3-2, Poland beat Cameroon 3-1, and Bulgaria edged Egypt 3-2. On Friday, Germany beat Tunisia 3-1, and Canada outplayed Egypt 3-0. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports News. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa. Back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Mark. Have a good day. Here's our listener mail for this Monday morning, September the 8th.
Good morning. This is William Kuklu from Monrovia, Liberia. I'd like to commend the U.S. military strikes in Somalia that have killed the Al-Shabaab leader. I believe such strike is needed in the Boko Haram region in Nigeria that will destroy the so-called heartless Islamic militants. Let me end by telling all Liberians that Ebola is real, Ebola kills, and we must fight and defeat Ebola. Thank you, and have a happy day.
We thank you, listener, for your comment, and please send your viewpoints to Daybreak Africa at voanews.com. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. New studies show that an experimental Ebola vaccine, which is being tested on monkeys, can work for 5 weeks or up to 10 months if used in conjunction with a booster shot. In a study published Sunday in the journal Nature Medicine, researchers from the U.S. National Institutes of Health said the experimental vaccine regimen produced durable immunity against the deadly virus. Meanwhile, U.S. President Barack Obama says the U.S. military would help in the fight against the Ebola virus, which has killed more than 2,000 people in West Africa. Authorities in Sierra Leone are ordering people to stay at home for 3 days this month as part of an effort to stop the spread of the Ebola virus. A spokesman for the government said Saturday that people will not be allowed to leave their homes from late September 18 till September 21st. Somalia has removed its top intelligence official and is on high alert following the Monday killing of Al-Shabaab's leader in a U.S. airstrike. That is it for this Monday, September 5th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting this week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as post editor Mark Ouma, along with our engineer Carl Sterling, I'm James Barty in Washington, hoping that you will make this week a very productive one.
Love African music.
Music time in Africa.
This is Heather Maxwell, and if you do, Music Time in Africa is the perfect show for you. Tune in to listen on the radio Saturdays and Sundays at 0900 2000 and 2100 UTC. can also listen to the show day or night on the internet. Go to voanews.com and voaafrica.com and click on Music Time in Africa. You'll find past and present radio shows and a link to my blog, African Music Treasures. This is Africa through its own music. Oldies, classics, traditional music, Afropop, and fusion. You get it all right here in one beautiful bundle on VOA's Music Time in Africa.